Good morning. I'm Chastity Jones. Jesus, you welcomed the little children. Mark 10:14. Help me come to you today with childlike faith, curious, honest, and ready to receive your love. Welcome to worship one and all, no matter where you are in your faith journey. We extend a special welcome to those of you who worship with us together on our radio broadcast on KCHK Radio, and to all who join us online through our website, zionleysewer.com. We welcome your comments, contributions, and prayer requests. Today's radio broadcast is sponsored by Lyle Wagner in honor of his 90th birthday. The bulletins are sponsored by Zion members. Thank you to all who give to this ministry. The sermon this morning is titled, Enter Leaping, Exit Limping, by Pastor Jan. Rally Sunday will be held on October 5th. Join us for this special service as we rally together as a community to commit to the ministries of Zion. It will be a Sunday of celebration, good food, and lots of good company. Stay after the worship service for the Egg Bake Brunch. Menu includes egg bakes, fresh fruit, muffins, coffee, juice, milk. Volunteers are needed to help make the Egg Bake Brunch happen. Please sign up to help out. The sign-up sheet is on the table by the entry. Thank you to the Adult and Bell Choirs and Michael Breenbach for today's wonderful music. Today we are honoring Pastor Jan in her farewell service and as she begins the next season in her life. There will be a reception following the worship service this morning. This morning we welcome Reverend Kelly Gallagher to Zion. She is here on behalf of the Minnesota Conference, where she is the Associate Conference Minister. The annual Henderson Community Worship Service will be held this morning at 11 at Bender Park Shelter. Country and gospel music will be provided by Alan Carlson. An offering towards Sibley County Food Share will be taken. Everyone is welcome. Fusion begins Wednesday, October 1st. There's still time to register. Your financial support of the radio broadcast in any amount helps keep the worship services available to those who are unable to attend worship in person. Now let us join in worship.
Christ proclaimed that one commandment was greater than all others. To love. And it was a commandment with no exceptions. He said to love God, love your neighbor, even love your enemy. He didn't say, love God, unless you're unhappy with your life. Love your neighbor, unless their beliefs are different from yours. No, he went even further and said, love your enemy. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those that curse you. Pray for those that persecute you. If you love only those who love you, think like you, act like you. If you only show kindness to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? For even sinners do the same. Jesus said they will know who his disciples are because something is different about them. And everyone can see it. They love, no exceptions.
Good morning and welcome to this hour of worship. I would also like to thank Bob Galkowitz, who is seated here in front next to Kelly Gallagher. Bob has also been here at Zion a couple of times at least anyway and visited with me personally. So we didn't want Bob to be overlooked. Will you please join with me now in our call to worship? Spirit of life, source of possibilities, breathe your life into us this day. As we gather on this day of celebration, let us embrace life in its fullness. Breathe your peace into us this day. As we listen and reflect, as we deepen and explore, as we sing and share our blessings, breathe your joy into us this day. As we imagine the days to come, and share our benedictions as we share our gratitude for all you have done and lean into the future you will give. Breathe into us your peace, your joy, your hope this day, now and always. Amen. Will you please rise as you are able and join together in our opening hymn, A Mighty Fortress is Our God.
Mighty warriors, it is time.
now as God's own people, the body of Christ, let us greet one another with the peace of Christ. The peace of the Lord be with you all. Before we begin our time of prayer this morning, I'd like to wish Peyton Tallman a happy birthday. I see you back there. Are you embarrassed yet? Happy birthday, Peyton. Prayers for Robert Batcher this morning are being requested. I'd also like to introduce to you Mike Breidenbach from St. Paul. He's our bagpiper this morning. And Mike, I don't see where you are. He may have ducked out for a little bit to get his lungs ready for playing the bagpipe. He's been at many of our family milestones, and so it's great to have him here this morning. And now, if there are no other prayer concerns, let's approach God first in the silent meditations of our own hearts. Let us pray. Almighty God, in whom we live and move and have our being, we're gathered here this morning to behold your light in our neighbors, in our friends, in our family members. And we thank you that we can also see the light of your love in strangers and in unexpected messengers. We're gathering here on holy ground. Here in this community, here in this sacred place, we're here to be filled and guided by your Holy Spirit, with our hearts wide open to follow wherever you may lead us. We thank you that you are near to us wherever we may journey, even though these journeys of ours are sometimes rocky, choked with weeds and winding paths. We pray that on this Sabbath day, your light will enter into us, that you'll soften our hardened spaces in our hearts, that you'll heal painful memories, sometimes long ago moments. Because you, Lord Jesus Christ, are an indistinguishable light who never gives up on us as individuals or nations. We pray for peace in our world, Lord. We pray for our neighbors in Ukraine, as well in other places throughout the world, in Gaza and Israel, wherever there is strife, wherever there is hunger and violence. Lord Jesus Christ, we ask that you make of us all peacemakers, each in our own way, and that you may raise up leaders in this world who are attentive to the needs of humanity. By your grace, Lord, we are here this morning to ask your blessing on each of us as we enter into a new season of life. We know that we can trust you, God, for your goodness, for your faithfulness, and wherever we may have weakness or hurt or pain, make us clear-eyed. Make us first your disciples. For seeking us and never giving up on any of us, God, we praise you for this holy day. And I thank you, Lord, for all the people who have gathered here in this sanctuary. I ask your blessing upon them, upon those who may be listening on the radio, upon those who may worship with us online, and for all those who are not even within earshot, Lord, I thank you for their faithfulness, for their steadfast devotion to the mission of this church. Help us to see you, God, in the eyes of our neighbors and strangers. May we extend respect and love to all people. Yours is a love that we may never fully comprehend. And it's a love so tenacious that you just never give up on us. And so we praise you, Lord, and give thanks as we pray together the prayer Jesus taught his disciples to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Amen.
The scripture lesson today is found in Genesis chapter 32, verses 24 to 31. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of the word.
A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew, the 6th chapter. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations upon all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There was a really popular pastor, and he was obsessed with golf. Every chance he got, he could be found out on the golf course. Sound familiar, Pastor Bob? One Sunday morning, the temperature was perfect. There wasn't a cloud in the sky, and an overwhelming urge came to him. So he called up the assistant pastor to tell her that he was sick and he couldn't preach that day. He loaded up his clubs and drove 3 hours to a golf course where nobody'd recognize him. And an angel up above was watching the preacher and was quite perturbed about this. The angel went to God and said, "Lord, look at that pastor down there. Aren't you going to punish him?" God turned to the angel and said, "Just wait. You'll see." So the preacher teed up on the first hole. He swung at the ball, and that ball sailed effortlessly through the air and landed right into the cup 350 yards away. It was a picture-perfect hole in one. Well, the pastor was really amazed and excited about that. And the angel was a little shocked and turned to God and said, "Lord, I thought you were going to punish him." God just smiled and said, "Think about it now. Who can he tell?" Sometimes an incredible blessing comes with a measure of pain, doesn't it? That's like our story this morning. 20 years, 7,300 days. That's a long time when the life expectancy back in 2000 BCE was about 40 years. Half a lifetime has passed since Jacob last saw his brother Esau. Now, hopefully you remember that story from Sunday school. Even when it came time to deliver those twin boys, Jacob emerged after his older brother Esau, clutching his heel, so they named the younger one Jacob, the grabber, the manipulator, the trickster. And when those boys grew up into adolescence, Jacob actually duped his brother Esau into giving him half of the inheritance in exchange for a bowl of soup. And then, in a final act of deceit, Jacob's mother, Rebekah, conspired to scam her husband Isaac as he lay on his deathbed. Instead of giving the blessing to Esau, the firstborn son, Isaac was tricked into giving the inheritance to Jacob. And in one of the most wrenching moments in the entire Hebrew Testament, we hear this cry of protest from Esau in shock and rage. And it echoes up until this day. "Father, bless me too. Have you only one blessing to give?" Well, that grief and bitterness hardened into a rock. Esau was now determined that he was going to kill his brother Jacob. And so for the next 20 years, Jacob lived like a fugitive, running from a brother who was determined to end his life. Now here in chapter 32, after 20 years on the run, we hear that Jacob is now going home. And he wonders, will Esau kill him on sight? Will Esau capture Jacob's wives and children and the livestock and send his cheating brother out into the wilderness to die? On the night before he's to meet his brother, Jacob lays down to rest there at the Jabbok River, and he prays. And then the author says, ominously, Jacob was alone. Alone there in the darkness of the desert, Jacob comes face to face with the story of his life. He's lived like an entitled prince. Yes, he worked hard to earn his favorite wife, Rachel. But never in his life had Jacob ever faced the consequences of his dishonesty and ambition. He never felt the full force, the sting of punishment. His good fortune and his wealth were always the result of his own conniving calculations. And now here at the River Jabbok, all of that is about to change. Out of nowhere, a shadowy being comes and attacks him. Is it one of Esau's men? Is it an angel? The story, as it's told here, doesn't ever answer that question fully, but the two of them, Jacob and the stranger, are locked in physical combat all night long. That powerful stranger has no name and no face. But then with the first gray light of morning, Jacob begins to realize he's not wrestling any ordinary mortal. He's been fighting God, fighting off those memories of his life of lies. The God that Jacob met that night wasn't some old kindly gentleman granting wishes. This is a God who drags you kicking and screaming through the sand, twisting and turning. And although he's being prepared to meet his brother Esau, Jacob has to face first an even more terrifying enemy, himself. And finally, just before sunrise, God tells Jacob he has to let go. And then Jacob is still defiant. He refuses, saying, I will not let you go until you bless me. And with that, God gives the con man a new name. Your name shall now be Israel, for you have grappled with God, and God has preserved your life. And as a sign of the blessing, without any warning, God touched the hollow of the most vulnerable place on the human body, the hollow of Jacob's thigh, where the hip and the leg meet. When daylight broke, God was gone. The old Jacob was gone too. Now his name is Israel, the leader of a nation, and marked forever as the guy with the limp. And here's one takeaway lesson. God never waits to give a blessing until somebody deserves it. God is awfully fond of blessing people who've done wrong. It's not the grace of a Hallmark card, is it? For all the betrayal, for all the subterfuge going on, this is still a story of grace. It's the grace that leads us into places of danger. You know, sometimes pastors like to present God's grace like it's a gentle breeze flowing, or a soft, refreshing rain, or a rainbow in the sky. And those things are all true. Beautiful, restorative, life-giving. Just as often, though, this God of grace of ours puts us in a half Nelson hold. Just as often, God throws us overboard a ship, and the blessing we sought comes as a fight to survive the rolling waves that are crashing over us. Think of Jonah. Think of the Apostle Paul. Think of your own life. Lesson number two. God never leaves us just as we are. When God appears to us, we are forever changed. And sometimes there's no blessing without a wounding. There's no grace without the experience of pain. Jacob is going to spend the rest of his life hobbling around, and each step will remind him of God's power to claim us and transform us. You see, God wrestled with Jacob in order to peel back all those layers of self-deceit and denial, all the years of trickery and manipulation. Wrestled him to the ground to give him that blessing and to lock him in to a purpose greater than himself. I guess it's taken me about 40 years, but I finally discovered something. One way or another, the Spirit of God struggles with all of us. God wants to turn our hearts away from hating ourselves, blaming ourselves. God wants us to turn away from selfishness and ambition into generous lives, into humility. And sometimes God actually changes the course of our life. I'd like to explain that. 2.5 years ago, I had the rest of my life all nicely planned out. I moved to Minneapolis. I was going to slow down and live a quieter life. And the doors of this church were open. I came in leaping, ready to hit the ground running. And you, Zion, you ran with me. I've had the time of my life. And my work here over the past couple of years as your pastor has been watching you moving into a new universe of God's grace. I'd like to think that I did some of the work, but this was truly the work of the Spirit of God in a congregation that was ready to move and grow. So you see, timing is everything. If I were to recount the treasures of my time with you, I'd like to say out loud each one of your names. The names of those I've baptized, the names of those who've gone before us in death, the names of all our children and youth. And I know you'll forgive me if I don't mention each one of you by name. Besides which, you'd probably like to get home and watch the rest of the Vikings game, right? But please know this. It's you, Zion. You are the treasure I'm taking with me. You're the blessing that will come to mind to me on those dark winter nights, when I'm at prayer, when I'm driving down the road. But like Jacob, I didn't receive this blessing without a reminder of my own limitations and my own mortality. I entered leaping, and now I'm leaving with a limp. I came to this work, to this place, knowing that Zion is not my own church. I came here asking questions, and the answers to the questions had to come from all of you, because you're going to be living with those answers long after I leave this place. And you answered. You answered. In laughter and tears, in prayers, in songs of lament and joy, You answered. I didn't come to love all the answers, but I came to love you. And sometimes with great love comes great pain. The poet Mary Oliver had something really poignant to say about this. To live in this world, she said, you must be able to do three things: to love what is human, to hold it against your bones, knowing your own life depends upon it, and when the time comes, to let it go. To let it go. And that letting go is really the final blessing. Every pastor will one day preach their last sermon. Fortunately, many of us don't know when it is our last sermon. And one of the hardest tasks of ministry is giving that sermon, but it's the holiest one. That's why God told Jacob he had to let go. Before I close this morning, I want to share with you how I have learned to let go after many losses in my own life. When I was just a girl, we'd all gather at my grandparents' farm north of Cedar Rapids, all the aunts and uncles and cousins. It was wonderful. Every Sunday of my childhood, we'd take that 15-minute drive out to the farm. That drive seemed to take all day. And I'll never forget the sound of the car wheels turning onto the gravel driveway. No seatbelts back in those days either. No seatbelts, so we could just spring out of the car like we were shot out of a cannon and behold the paradise of the farm. Where would we start? There were all kinds of farm animals, livestock and orange pop and hay rides and our own version of baseball that we made up with the cousins and the barn that we were never supposed to play in. We almost never wore shoes because you'd ruin your shoes. So you had to learn to be careful. You know, it's really a wonder that we survived childhood, isn't it? And although I didn't realize it at the time, that's where I learned what it means to say goodbye. The time always came to go home. And we knew when the end of the day was coming, it was starting to get dark, but we kept on living and playing in the moment. Nobody ever wanted to leave there, but when it was time to go, you just knew. My uncle had a whistle that you could hear in the next county. And when we heard that whistle, we just knew. We all came running. We all came jumping out of trees or putting away our games, barefoot through the gate, barefoot down the gravel driveway. And now if you've ever walked on gravel with bare feet, and I hope you haven't, you know that it hurts. And if you slow down, it only makes the pain worse and prolongs it. You just keep going, knowing that the pain was just a necessary reminder that a wonderful day had come to an end. It was just the price of love. Today I'm running down the gravel road. The view is beautiful. The memories fill my heart. And people are waiting for me at the other end. But it hurts to say goodbye. So instead of goodbye, let's just say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks be to God. Will our ushers please now come forward for the morning offering? Thank you. Almighty God, giver of every good and perfect gift, teach us to give to you all that we have and all that we are, that we may praise you not with our words only, but with our whole lives. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
And now we have come to the part of the service I've been dreading for months. But it's with heavy hearts, but also happiness in our hearts that we do this part. I am Bob Brown.
I'm Kelly Gallagher, Associate Conference Minister.
I'm Bob Galquitz, a member of St. Paul's UCC, representing the Committee on Ministry from the conference.
On September 12, 2023, this local church called the Reverend Janet Christinger to serve as senior pastor.
I thank Zion United Church of Christ, its members and friends, for the love, kindness, and support you have shown me for these past 2 years. I ask forgiveness for the mistakes I have made. I am grateful for the ways my leadership has been accepted. As I leave, I carry with me all that I learned here.
We receive your thankfulness, offer forgiveness, and accept that you now leave to minister elsewhere. We express our gratitude for your kind comments. We ask your forgiveness for our mistakes. Your influence on our faith and faithfulness will not leave us.
I forgive you and accept your gratitude, trusting that our time together and our parting are pleasing to God.
And would the council members rise and come forward to be recognized also in this time as the leaders of this congregation? As leaders and members of Zion United Church of Christ, do you release the Reverend Jan Christinger from the duties of senior pastor?
We do, with the help of God.
Do you offer your encouragement for her ministry as it unfolds in new ways?
We do, with the help of God.
Do you, Reverend Jan, release this local church from turning to you and depending on you?
I do, with the help of God.
Do you offer your encouragement for the continued ministry here and on the relationship with another who will come to serve?
I do, with the help of God.
On behalf of the Minnesota Conference and the United Church of Christ, we witness to the words spoken, words of thankfulness, forgiveness, and release. The member churches of our conference hold each of you in prayer. We pledge our support in the transitions signified in this service.
Thanks be to God.
Please join in the unison prayer. God, whose everlasting love for all is trustworthy, help each of us to trust the future which rests in your care. The time we were together in your name saw our laughter and tears, our hopes and disappointments. Guide us as we hold these cherished memories, but move in new directions until that time to come when we are completely one with you and with each other. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Just over 2 years ago, I had the good fortune to interview Pastor Jen for the position of pastor. I was impressed with her genuineness, people skills, leadership, and a vision for our church. On her first day, she hit the ground running, and I wrote that before I heard you. Getting to know people in an amazingly short time, she and the CE committee created Fusion that has been a huge success for our church school kids, in no small part due to her ability to relate so well to the children. She shared her amazing piano playing with both the Fusion kids and the choir. Her revitalization of several committees was impressive. Her ability to find and recruit other staff helped us to find a tech communications expert, a choir and bells director, a director for the CE program, and lastly, a pianist to replace herself. I found her sermons to be educational and relatable, which helped to deepen my faith. I know I have omitted many other things she has achieved in her time with us, but in my defense, there's cake waiting to be eaten. I will miss working together and sharing with her my personal challenges and her encouragement. In closing, I'd like to add that what seems like an end may be only a beginning. My sincere hope is that it will be true for both of you and for our family of faith. Be well, be happy. May God bless you. We will miss you.
Today, we say goodbye to our dear friend. When you came to us a couple of years ago, we hoped you would stay a good long time. That is not to be, but you have worked overtime and accomplished much during the short time that you were here. You have sparked in us a spirit that will grow and continue to blossom in this congregation. And so, we send you on your way with these simple gifts. Our love and our blessings for the renewed adventures that await you on your journey.
Sure. It's a party.
Okay. Let the party begin. Okay.
Just make sure you do the card first.
That's right.
That's the polite thing to do. I know you want to get in the box.
Thank you, bro. Okay. Pastor Jan, many lives have been touched, many hearts have grown, many dreams have been planted because of you. Congratulations on your retirement. Love, Barb, Mostagimi, and family. That's lovely. Okay. Should I open this?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Okay, this is where I'm like my grandma. My grandma used to save wrapping paper and bows and bread ties. Okay. But I'm going to break with tradition here. In the interest of time. Okay. Oh, this is love. Did Essie do this? I think this was done by Essie Mostagimi, Barb's husband. That is just lovely. Open hands for communion. And there's more. Okay, this must be the mat?
I think so.
Okay, we'll just wait. Yeah, we'll just wait till later. Okay. Okay, who does the wrapping around here? These are nice.
Okay.
Okay.
But this one's from the whole church.
Okay, all right. Thanking God for you and your ministry for the Lord. Asking God to bless you because you have blessed us. and so many others with the ministry God placed in your heart. Love your Zion Church family, wishing you a happy, blessed retirement. Thank you. I love you too. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Thank you. All right.
She's thanking us for the money we collected for her goodbye.
Okay. Okay. Why don't you help me? Now, if
come on,
yeah,
we should have all the little kids come.
I know. I was just saying.
Will the children please come forward and help me unwrap this?
You got
Ellie and Elsie. Wow. Let's put it down here so we can reach it. Okay, Brantley, come on over. Okay. All right. Who wants to tear that? Will you tear that off? You're a good ripper. Okay, now, Brantley, you come over here on this end. Will you tear this part open? Okay, what do we have here? It's a toaster, isn't it? Okay. I still can't find my toaster. That's actually not really a joke. Oh, my word. Look at this. Do you want to hold that up? Look at that. That is lovely. Brantley, can you read that for everybody? Here, I'm going to give you the mic, or Bob's going to give you the mic.
A pastor devoted to giving so much, God only knows, all the souls that you taught, committed to